Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you might be left wondering, what is this whole free grace thing about and what groups are involved? In fact, that's kind of the question that one of our listeners sent in recently. They said this: how are various free grace groups similar or different? And what makes GES distinct? And what is the history of GES? Well, that's a lot to answer, but I think it's going to be an exciting show with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar as they answer this great question. Here's Grace in Focus.
We're so glad you're listening to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your Bible and theology questions. You can send them to radio@faithalone.org. And if you would do me a favor, please make those questions very succinct. Give me a three-sentence question, because that's a lot easier for us to handle.
We call it the KISS method. Keep it simple, saint.
Keep it simple, saint. So we don't need a paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. Just a short question is more likely to land you on the radio.
Right.
All right, here's a question, for example, by Dave, and he did a very good job. Look how short this email is.
Oh, that's great.
It's excellent. I love it. Yeah. He says, we're still trying to learn and understand about, I'll paraphrase here, but different free grace groups.
Right.
And has there ever been thought of joining with the other groups? And in what way do the different free grace groups agree and where do they disagree? I thought that might be an interesting question.
Well, let me give a bit of history and then we'll talk about some of the differences. Does that sound good?
Sure.
So in terms of the history, in 1985, I was going to turn it in and I saw a flyer that talked about Conference on the Gospel, and the speakers were Professors Zane Hodges and Craig Glickman. And I was impressed. I was like, wow, I'd like to go to this. Well, I was kind of caught up in both the doctoral work and also work as well, and I didn't really think much of it for a few months, and I found out that was later canceled for lack of interest, not enough response.
Huh.
And I thought, how horrible. Well, I was hired to teach at a college out in, well, actually, Dallas Bible College moved to East Texas, and I went with them to teach out in Lyndale. And at the end of a semester, it folded. So I lost my job,
right?
December 31, 1985. And when I lost it, somehow during the 6 months between then and when I was hired to teach at Multnomah School of the Bible in Portland, during that time, I had the idea, why not start an organization that would promote clarity on the gospel?
Right.
And so I sent a letter in June of 85 to 30 of my friends that I knew were strong on the free grace message, and I called it Grace Evangelical Society. And between June of 86 and December of 86, the number of people I mailed to went up to 1,000.
Wow.
Because yeah. I asked people, send me names of people you know. And so by January of 87, while I was teaching at Multnomah, there were 1,000 people on the mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kept growing. What happened over time, things got bigger and bigger. In around 94, we had our first national conference with 35 people, and every year it kept growing. And by 2006, we had 350 people at our national conference.
Well, what was attracting people? What were they uniting behind?
Okay, that's a great question. We were really not united about what we were for as much as we were united about what we were against.
And what was that?
We were all against the teaching of lordship salvation or work salvation, but specifically lordship salvation, which is basically the idea that you cannot be born again unless you submit and commit to the lordship of Jesus Christ.
So you don't believe in submitting and committing to Jesus?
Yes, I do. And that's another show. But not for how we're born again. We're
right.
Born again simply by believing in Christ. And of course, we were united that it was by believing in Christ, but as it turns out later, we didn't all agree what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was by 2006, there were some cracks in the foundation. Another organization had already been founded at that point. In fact, it turns out there were several others, as you mentioned. There are multiple free grace organizations. They don't all have free grace in their title. In fact, we didn't use that term much in 1986 when I started this. So as a result, It's not the Free Grace Evangelical Society or whatever. I just called it the Grace Evangelical Society.
Right.
But there are multiple organizations, and let's talk a bit about some of the differences. One difference is, what is the specific object of saving faith? According to some Free Grace people, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead on the third day, and most of them would add in, and that he's God, then you're born again, even if you believe in work salvation or lordship salvation.
Yeah, even if you don't even know about the kind of salvation that Jesus gives you. If you just believe those facts about Jesus' life, about who he is, that's enough to be born again.
Right. And well, in fact, there are many people in Free Grace circles that think that Orthodox and Roman Catholics are born again, because they believe Jesus died on the cross for their sins, rose from the dead, and that he's God. But there are others in Free Grace circles, such as myself, that would say, no, wait a minute, we're not born again by believing those things apart from believing that the salvation Jesus gives is eternal.
Right.
Apart from believing that once we're saved, we're always saved.
I mean, you need to believe that Jesus as the Savior gives you a salvation. You need to believe in him for that salvation.
Okay, so here's two major issues. Issue number one, these people have pointed at us and said, we believe a crossless gospel. And the reason they say we believe a crossless gospel is not because we don't preach the cross of Christ, but it's because we say that believing in the cross of Christ is not what gives you everlasting life.
Right.
What gives you everlasting life is believing the promise of everlasting life. Now, you get there through the death and the resurrection of Christ.
Right.
But the truth is, believing that doesn't save you. You must believe in the promise of everlasting life, which is, that's what it means to believe in him.
Because you can believe that Jesus died and rose again, and then also believe that you need to give away all your possessions and be celibate and go live in a cave or a desert like the desert fathers used to. And you have to like live a whole life as a monk in order to earn salvation when you die.
Right.
We're saying, well, you can't be saved by a false gospel. There's nothing in Scripture that says you'll be saved if you believe in salvation by work.
Right. But the second issue is called assurances of the essence of saving faith. And according to that view, you're not born again until you're convinced or assured that you have everlasting life simply by faith in Christ. In other words, let's say someone believes Jesus died on the cross for sins, rose from the dead, and is God, and they think, okay, now I've got initial salvation.
I got some type of
temporary probation,
some
whatever.
Some type of losable salvation.
Right. But in order to keep it, I've got to go to church, read my Bible, pray.
Take the sacraments, be good.
Right. And I've got to persist. I've got to persevere.
Stay away from drugs and alcohol.
Right. Well, that person doesn't really believe John 3:16 or John 5:24 or Ephesians 2:8 and 9.
Why don't they?
Because they think it is of works. They have some ground to boasting. Now, they may say, wait a minute, it's all of God. God gives me the works. But guess what? One of the things we discovered is that although everyone involved with GES from the beginning was against lordship salvation, we had different reasons why we were against it. Some of us were convinced that that was a false message in terms of justification.
Right.
But others among us were convinced that that was a perfectly fine method of justification. It was a bad method of sanctification.
Oh, so they thought a lordship person could still be saved by believing in a gospel of commitment. But that's not ideally how we should
evangelize. They thought it was a bad method of sanctification.
Okay.
So that messed you up in sanctification. For example, Wayne Grudem wrote a book against Free Grace theology, and there was a response. Well, actually, several. I wrote one response, and there were two other responses written by Free Grace people. Well, in
your book is called Grudem Against Grace, and it's available at our website.
Right. But one of these other books actually talks about Grudem as a brother in Christ.
Right.
And says that we have the same basic view of saving faith as Grudem.
Right.
And yet Grudem holds to lordship salvation. And so essentially what they're doing is saying, in my opinion, that the lordship salvation people are born again people. They're just confused on sanctification.
Mm-hmm. That illustrates another difference I see between free grace groups. And that book kind of advocated for a view of faith that is a combination of mind, emotion, and will. And it's kind of like a whole person response to the person of Christ. Whereas we would say faith is persuasion that the promises of Christ are true.
Right.
It's a persuasion of a teaching, of a promise, of something that Jesus says. Whereas I think their view is a little more existential. It's kind of like a whole person responds to another person
right.
somehow. And that's kind of a difference, too.
But let me say, these people from these other organizations are friends of mine. They're people that, in some cases, were on my board for years. They're people I've known for a long time. And we agree on a lot of things, but we disagree in many cases on whether assurance is of the essence of saving faith. And we also disagree on whether you need to believe more than simply Jesus died, rose again, and is God in the flesh. We're saying no. If you believe that, doesn't give you everlasting life. I might end with this. One of the people who's one of the leaders of one of these free grace organizations, he wrote an article after our 2006 conference when this whole assurance of the essence of faith controversy came up. And he said, look, if that were true, then nobody was born again before the Reformation between the end of the apostolic era, let's say from the 2nd century to the 16th century, until 1519 when Luther puts his 95 Theses on the door of Wittenberg. Well, the problem with that is there were lots of people during that time who believed the promise of everlasting life. The fact that we don't have it in print doesn't mean that there weren't such people. Of course, by that same reasoning, therefore, if the Roman Catholic Church was a saving church between the 2nd and 16th centuries, then the Roman Catholic Church is a saving church today, too, unless the message changed in 1519. The point is, we have some significant differences that make it impossible to come together unless one side or the other changes their views.
Well, Dave, I hope that answered your questions. And if it has raised more questions, I encourage you to go to our website, faithloan.org, and look up some of these issues which we've written about. And be sure to keep on listening to Grace and Focus. See you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another Friday. We've got a weekend ahead of us, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.